September 15 of the Policy and Legislative Committee, and we have the minutes of administration meeting on December 8. I would entertain a motion.
Move
have a motion and a second. Without exception, then the minutes will be adopted, approved. Our action item here is approval of the creation of an inspector general. And I will just introduce this proposal by saying that this is an action which the board had considered over the last several months, and actually we had it on the agenda. We withdrew it from the agenda while we were going through our transition of a new board leadership and new general manager. But we wanted to bring this back for discussion and hopefully approval today. It is an action which is entirely appropriate for the authority. We have the responsibility for $1 billion operating budget, $800 million capital budget, and the stewardship of these funds for the entire region. And so we certainly believe that it is important that we use every opportunity to ensure that those funds are being managed and expended in an appropriate way. So we have this proposal before us, and Mr. Tanglini, are you going to make a presentation to us?
I am. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I also want to thank the board for giving me an opportunity to work with the initial staff proposal, the opportunity to work with the former Inspector General of DOT, Mr. Ken Mead, a number of other folks who have been very helpful in providing guidance to me and to the authority. Putting together a proposal, I think, goes a long way to addressing a number of concerns. With your forbearance, I'd like to quickly go through the executive summary of the proposal, talk a little bit about the structure of what we're proposing, and then certainly entertain any questions, comments, concerns that the board has. To start, the background doesn't need too much description of why we're proposing this, but I think it's worthy of some remark that there has been some concern that Metro is not as transparent and accountable as it could be, as it should be, given the fact that we use over $1.8 billion, at least in FY07, and more probably in FY08, of public resources and fares to do the work that we do. Having an inspector general will allow us to become more transparent and accountable, will allow people to have some sense that there is an independent entity within the organization, related to the organization, that can look at the organization. The mission statement of the Office of the Inspector General would be to be an independent and objective unit committed to making WMATA more transparent and accountable. The office would scrutinize WMATA's activities, guard the integrity of WMATA's programs, and promote the economic use of WMATA's resources, thus contributing to safe, efficient, clean, and reliable transportation to customers. Responsibilities of the new IG would be similar to those at other transit systems and federal agencies. And we looked at both other transit systems, MTA in LA, MTA in New York, Chicago, as well as the federal government IG system, which really served as our primary model. To conduct and supervise audits, program evaluations, and investigations related to authority activities, to promote economy, efficiency, and effectiveness in authority activities, detect and prevent fraud and abuse in authority activities, and keep the board fully and currently informed about deficiencies in authority activities, as well as the necessity for and progress of corrective action. In terms of selecting the IG, the board will recruit and select an IG and determine the IG's compensation, as well as the overall OIG office budget for fiscal year 2007. Subsequent years, the IG would recommend a budget to the board. Recruitment would be based on demonstrated management and analytical ability and a thorough appreciation of the aims of auditing, program evaluation, criminal and civil investigations, need for adherence to legal requirements, and the special nature of working in the public sector. The term of service would be 5 years, with no more than two additional terms. The removal of an IG prior to the expiration of a term be in accordance with board authority under the compact and upon criteria to be developed by the board and made publicly available. The criteria will be similar to standards of performance and conduct that apply to inspectors general of other entities. I'd like to comment that that's an issue that is limited to some extent by the compact, but I think it's something that we've been working very closely with members of the board to try to make sure that it does make sure that the IG is as independent as possible. Reporting, the IG will report on a periodic basis to the board audit committee, as the committee may require, and at least semi-annually to the board itself, including presentation of an annual work plan. The IG will submit annual reports summarizing activities to the board, applicable governors, mayor, chief elected officers of Fairfax County, Fairfax City, Falls Church, Arlington, Alexandria, Loudoun, Montgomery, Prince George's, and the Federal Transit Administration and members of Congress from this region. The IG will appoint an assistant IG for audits, an assistant IG for investigations, and the IG will have independent hiring authority in accordance with the OIG approved budget and WMATA personnel policies and procedures. The IG shall provide first consideration to the existing WMATA Office of Auditor General personnel when making hiring decisions, and WMATA will set up a separate compensation family for OIG to allow for a separate pay system as approved by the board. Within 3 months of appointment, the first IG will recommend a number of internal procedures and other matters to the board, including authority over required contracting support, scope of audit authority over contractors, operating procedures for the conduct of investigations of safety and criminal matters, protection of confidentiality and whistleblowers, and the content of periodic reports, recipients of audit investigative reports, and public availability of IG reports, as well as a fiscal 2008 budget, work plan, and organizational staffing plan. The IG shall have the authority to subpoena witnesses, papers, records, and documents. She will enjoy the greatest possible independence and freedom from interference consistent with the WMATA Compact. The board will continue to select external contract auditors for the annual audit of financial statements, taking into consideration the IG's recommendation, and the IG will supervise and perform a quality assurance review of that auditor. The IG shall have access to all authority records and the full cooperation of WMATA staff. The board, specifically the chair of the audit committee, should communicate regularly with the IG on issues. The IG and general manager shall maintain open lines of communication, including direct and prompt access. Establishing an IG is estimated to have an additional cost of $314,000 in fiscal year 2007. Costs associated with compensation for one new position, costs associated with reclassifying two currently vacant positions, related fringe benefits, non-personnel costs, and some estimated startup expenses. Under this proposal, the 27 current positions in the Office of Auditor General, I'll ask you to go to the next slide so you can see the current structure of the Office of Auditor General in Audit and Safety Oversight. Go to the next slide. Would be transferred to the new OIG. The new OIG will require one position to be added to the WMATA fiscal 2007 budget for an inspector general. This new position, the OIG will have a total of 28 funded positions. The WMATA Office of Auditor General currently has four vacant positions. This proposal assumes reclassifying two of the vacant positions to assistant IG for audits, assistant IG for investigations. That's actually two slides down, if you could go to that. One more, please. So it would actually take two of the four vacant positions and reclassify them for an IG, an assistant IG for investigations, an assistant IG for audits. We would add the IG position, and there would be two additional vacancies. The cost associated with this action includes the difference between average salaries of the two vacant positions. You can see that, I think, on the next slide. Actually, two more slides, if you don't mind. Thank you. It gives you just the cost to reclassify those positions to the general average salary for assistant IGs and IGs, and the cost associated with the action includes the difference between average salaries of two vacant positions and the salary estimates for two assistant IG positions. Those, though, would be determined by the IG in consultation.
Could he just finish?
I'm just about done. The proposal assumes the Inspector General will be selected by October 2006, and the Assistant Inspector General is by January 2007. Therefore, the IG position, startup costs, and other non-personnel costs are budgeted for 9 months of fiscal year 2007. The assistant IG positions are budgeted for 6 months of fiscal 2007.
Thank you, Ms. Taglini. And I just want to say that in anticipation of approval of this action, when I was looking at the committee structure for this year, I recommended and the board approved the establishment of a separate audit committee, breaking it out from the budget committee so that there would be the focus on, of attention on the audit committee. In the past, we've had it, it's kind of been an afterthought, and we've rushed those actions through. So this additional committee would bring the appropriate focus for this new position and this new activity. Ms. Brand.
Yes. And, we've over a period of time, we've all had an opportunity to comment on these ideas and concepts, and so I don't feel the need to put into this at any length. I support what's been presented. I do have just one additional thought, however. I have had varying reactions to the idea of transferring our entire audit function to the Inspector General. And there are pros and cons to that, and I think I'm okay with what we've ended up with. But I would like a salutary provision added, which would, and it's only salutary because I think that we've got to have the independence of the Inspector General. I know this this position from my work in the District of Columbia government, but I would like a salutary provision added that would permit either the board or the general manager to refer matters for investigation and consideration put by the IG. I'd just like to see that in here. Now, of course, you know, we couldn't require, you know, the IG to act on these matters, but I think we ought to have the ability, and I assume this is implicit, you know, to act, to formally refer matters. Both of our, both institutions, the general manager and the board, ought to have that the recognition of that ability. So we would like you to review this, because again, we're losing an audit function today under the audit function. You know, certainly the general manager could simply just instruct the auditor, and I assume we could too. So we're losing that capacity, but I think my concerns might be met if we had that. I would move that as an amendment, unless it's just a consensus.
If there's consensus, we could just ask. Does anybody object to that?
Question.
Okay.
My reaction is to a full course, and I was actually surprised at the suggestion that we couldn't. I mean, why wouldn't we be able to refer? And
it's salutary, I think. You know,
yeah.
I think
he just wants to do make it obvious,
formalize what I think is our ability.
And that's fine with me. I wouldn't want it to be questioned. After all, who's in charge here? Presumably, an audit needs to be done. The board can get it done, I assume. And it wouldn't make sense to reduce the oversight capability of the board in creating this new mechanism.
In fact, if I can comment, that was one of the reasons why we scrapped the notion of a hybrid proposal where we have a maintain an auditor general and we have an inspector general. It's our intention, in designing it in this way, by having them report to the audit committee, by having them prepare a work plan, that the Inspector General is actually actively involved day-to-day in the operations of the authority and evaluating the operations of the authority. The long discussion about the Auditor General does a fantastic job of auditing our contracts on a regular basis, even pre-award. That's actually an industry-leading practice. We want the Inspector General to keep doing that. I think that's really a critical, important function, and make sure that the Inspector General is involved every day in the operation of the organization.
My concern is just that the fundamental oversight function is the board, and that will always be the case.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good tool, but ultimately, oversight is what a board is for. And so, if there's ever any question, and we're the ones ultimately responsible to the member jurisdictions that own the system, in effect. if there's any question about what's going on, the board needs to be able to direct somebody to look into it and produce information about it. And you know, that's when I looked at this as a mechanism that can accomplish that, when it might be necessary.
But again, is there any objection to adding?
No, I just want to clarify.
Can I ask the general counsel?
That specific line.
The third line from the bottom of that paragraph.
And I think, if I may, Madam Chair, that you were saying it was president of the board.
All I'm suggesting is just simply to add the board to that. I didn't catch that language, so if I have to use that board. Second, is there a problem with that?
I don't see
the language before the board.
The
second issue, if I may, is I support also the periodic report for the audit committee, and I think that's good to have this in here. But I'm a little bit concerned about the word report, just the way you used it. You know, reconfirms my concern is that the Inspector General does not report to the Audit Committee. The Inspector General makes reports to the Audit Committee, and there's a big difference between those two. I mean, I think the Inspector General, I don't know whether there's a need to clarify this, it reports to the board. And makes reports to the Audit Committee. I think this is more than just a fine distinction.
I'm sure nobody has any objection to that. So
can we get that clarification?
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. Any other comments? Mr. Smith and then Mr. Deegan.
Yes, thank you. On page 5, page 5 of the presentation, Appendix 1, the way the chart is set up, I ask this because I've had questions on this, just to clarify my understanding that Audit and Safety Oversight Office, Auditor General, it's described in here that we're eliminating the Office of Auditor General. We're really not eliminating it in the sense that we're eliminating it as it's currently structured. We're bifurcating it, are we not, in that we're creating a new IG office, and then the office that the components that are left behind are actually then becoming, as on Appendix 2, page 6, the system safety and risk protection. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that's actually, in many ways, returning system safety and risk protection to where it was before it was merged with the Auditor General in the last reorganization. So in that sense, it's having system safety, risk protection, again, independently report to the general manager, reflecting, in part, the comments we received from the NTSB on the recent investigation of the
it shouldn't be construed that we're taking that entire office titled Auditor General and making it IG.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I have a question on page 2 of the resolution, the last resolve on the page, which has the laundry list of persons and groups to whom the reports are made. Could I ask a question, and perhaps if necessary, to counsel on is it assumed, in so much as this summary report to the mayor of the District of Columbia, Governor of Maryland, and all these individuals have made, that at that point that's a public document and therefore is released to the public, or not? No. I don't know what happened. I tend to have a problem with that then, because in so much as we are releasing this report document to or summary report document to a laundry list of associations and officials throughout the region who will then have the opportunity to comment, excerpt, modify language in ways they might deem appropriate in the public media. I think that the document presented to those people ought to be released to the public in general, as has been requested, I think, by MetroWriters.org and others.
The issue is, do you want to work with the new Inspector General as they put together their policies and require that then, or do you want to put that in the resolution now, is what it really comes down to?
Sure. On his point?
Yeah, his point.
Okay,
I'm a little surprised that, I would have assumed this is a public document anyway.
That was my first question. Yeah, that didn't seem
so like... If it is, in fact, a public document, FOIA-able,
right,
or whatever we call it here, then it's, I assume that the formality, putting in here, make sure that key people are notified formally, which is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
But other than that, I assume it would be posted on the website, like every other document should be. It's a public document.
And that was my first assumption, but I asked the question, and I didn't get an
answer
that was very, very clear on it. Yeah.
It was a working assumption that you send this out to all these people. It's essentially a public document, but we didn't want to, in essence, presuppose the outcome of the discussion between the IG and the board. But the issue is, you can either wait till the IG's here, or you can just simply put it here in the resolution.
Kathy, you want to?
I just wanted to clarify. I'm assuming that it doesn't mean that I'm waiting, that we are saying that we're not making it a public document. I hope that the answer we heard was simply the clarity of how and timing and how, the question. Just the protective.
Okay. Well, as a. I'm sorry, go ahead.
On this point,
yes, on that point. Okay. For example, if this would come, if the report comes to the board, it to me is the time that it becomes a public document. It's not just the public document when it's made available to all of these other people. So I think that is a procedural piece that is part of what we do, and just be reaffirming the procedure.
Right, I wouldn't put it in here.
Okay.
Go ahead, you can. I'm sorry.
It just seems to me, with some proviso for things that might be confidential for legal reasons, why not have the words "and release to the public"?
I don't think that's necessary. I really don't. For all the reasons we've just discussed, I think it's just as soon not add that language.
Unfortunately, the history around here has been getting documents available to the public seems to be a real challenge. And we asked a lot of times, and we finally seem to be getting committee documents.
I'd like to make a motion.
Time away.
Oh, okay.
I would move that we add to the list of people that the summary report goes to the chairman of the Writers Advisory Council and the public in general.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. let's vote. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Approved, clearly. All right. Mr. Deegan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. First, I'd like to commend you for all the work you've done on this and the staff as well. I think it's a good document. But I'd like to see a requirement that the IG have at least 5 years' experience as an IG or 5 years' experience in transit.
One or the other?
No,
one. One or the other.
Is that it? Could that be by consensus, or would you like a motion?
Just to follow up on Charles.
Okay.
Because I looked at the resolution and the other, I don't see any qualifications specified. There's a one resolve here that the board of directors shall recruit one to set compensation. That doesn't really talk about qualifications for the job. I mean, there should be some threshold that people have to meet in order to apply. Otherwise, we can have anybody apply.
But you don't have to hire anybody.
Of course, but we don't want to look at 2,000 applications when we cut it down to 25.
But you don't need it in the resolution to do that.
Right. The board would be able to establish qualifications as they go out with the recruitment, or at least outline it, we didn't want to limit the qualifications too much that it limited the choice that the board would have. Prior experiences, I know that it's been, the qualifications can be written so narrowly, it seems like it's targeted at an individual. It's entirely possible that you're looking for someone who doesn't, maybe you're looking for someone who will bring a new perspective, maybe not a transit perspective or not an inspector general, prior inspector general view to it. That's up to the board to decide, but that can be determined when you go out for the recruitment. That's it. We were trying to not limit the pool from which you were drawn for this position.
So we will make that determination when we go out for recruitment.
Put that in a posting.
You can put that in a posting. You can specify that that's your preference.
That will be the board's decision.
That will be the board's decision.
What would be the board's decision? What qualifications?
What the qualifications?
Well, well, let's say in the resolution that we will establish qualifications.
Okay. Was that a motion, Mr. Grant?
So moved.
I'll second that.
I don't think it's that obvious. So I think the qualifications is necessary.
Okay.
As opposed to saying that we will hire somebody without establishing qualifications. Okay. Does anybody object to adding that? Okay, we'll add that. Is there anything further? Yes, Ms. Scott.
First, I'd just like to say that this is a better proposal for you having taken it, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And for the input of our new manager. It's also it's interesting on the way in, I was reading an interview with Kyle Gorbachev. It's kind of, I view this as part of this continuing of perestroika and metro, a combination of three things. I think a more nimble leadership, which we're definitely seeing the fruits of already, bringing our riders to the table. And what I think this really does, it helps improve the confidence of people looking from the outside in. While we are a good organization that's getting better, you have to have that level of confidence. We're going to continue to get folks to make the strategic investments that are critical. So I can tell you is that when this we begin rolling this with the audit committee, I'll be looking at other enhancements to make certain that that annual work plan has allowance so that we have the regular input from our riders. These are fairly obvious things to those outside the organization, but these are some bold, positive steps for an authority that I think is really getting its wings after 30 years. And again, it's a better product because we took the time to stop and think.
Madam Chair?
Mr. Green.
And if I could just add to that, because having been through the experience of a not-so-good inspector in the District of Columbia, you know, it all, you know, what really will matter to this is the individual who holds the post. And that's why what you have said, Mr. Deegan, Solomon, you know, about qualifications, about the need to find the right person for this position, because having an inspector general does not guarantee that you have good independent review. I mean, and so, you know, the next steps on this are every bit as important as what we've done in terms of formulating the position. And so I just to demonstrate my keen sense of the obvious, that we need to really dedicate ourselves to finding the right person for this job. And I'm sure that we all have that in mind as we proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. And Mr. Kaufman, I agree with what both of you have said, and I do think that this is an action that a lot of our stakeholders have anticipated, and I believe that it will be well received. So with that, I will call for the vote. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Thank you very much, and that concludes the business of the committee.
Thank you. May I inform you that there's a bus out front to take people who are interested in joining us for a 30th birthday party for Metro Rail to the Carmen Turner facility.
Come and take us away.
Yeah, exactly.